Holy God, we thank you for your word. A word that touches us in deep places. A word that gives us strength and courage for the living of our lives. A word that comforts and challenges. May we hear it and know it as your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Noted contemporary sociologist of religion, Robert Bella, once wrote the following. Many Christians have been infected with the most virulent virus of modern American life, radical individualism. They concentrate on personal obedience to Christ as if all that matters is Jesus and me. But in doing so, miss the point altogether. For Christianity is not a solitary belief system. Any genuine resurgence of Christianity, as history demonstrates, depends on a reawakening and renewal of that which is the essence of the faith. That is, the people of God, the new society, the body of Christ, which is made manifest in the world, the church. I share that because I think it helps us to begin to get at what Jesus is talking about in our Luke passage today. Now, I must admit, every time this passage comes up in the lectionary, I kind of shudder, think, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? I don't think there's a pastor out there that likes to preach on this passage. And I believe, I would imagine there are a number who won't preach on it. But I think it has a lot to teach us. Now today we have, meaning in our time, we have no idea what prompted this story of the rogue manager. But scholars believe that Jesus was taking something from the headlines of the area or something that he had heard to make a point. To understand it, though, it helps to see what transpired before this passage. Episcopal priest Reverend Thomas Brackett shares the following understanding of context and meaning. Jesus had consistently, before this, provoked the growing rage of his peers, meaning the Pharisees and others like them, by freely forgiving the sins of those who came to him. He also healed them. In fact, Matthew 9 recalls that his critics didn't mind the healing as much as they were angered by his daring to forgive sins. In an odd way, this story breaks open a new view of God's impulse to give the farm away. This story of the rogue manager is most likely a picture of Jesus and the way he totally mismanaged his role as a rabbi. You heard me right. He mismanaged the rabbinic responsibility to mediate God's justice and carefully mete out forgiveness only after appropriate evidence that forgiveness had been warranted and the law had been satisfied. That's what Jesus didn't follow. I choose to believe that this manager's crazy and irresponsible behavior is a description of the outrageous divine generosity squandered on all of us. Jesus is challenging the church of his day, and he's challenging us today, to not keep the benefits of being God's children for ourselves, or just for those in the church. Jesus wants us to spread it around liberally to those outside the church. That means grace, forgiveness, the beloved status of God. I'm thinking of Nolan, whom we baptized today. What if we freely offer that to others? Baptism. Now, some of you may say, hey, wait a minute, Tom. You were always the one that said you needed to belong to a church. Yes, I have. But you know, as I've grown older, I've begun to see things a little differently. Perhaps I and the church have been holding on to the reins a little too tightly. While in our denomination, a person must be baptized to receive communion. Some of you know I broke with that a long time ago. I hope you've noticed that I now invite everyone to come to the table of Christ. What would it be like to say to someone, I forgive you, even before they offer an apology? What would it be like to keep someone in the family, even if they have offended you? It's not about us as individuals, as we so often think, or as a church. It's about God's creation living in unity with one another and sharing the fruits of that life liberally and equally. Jesus was a radical rabbi for his ideas. Can we be radical Christians? Just this morning, I came across this piece on the internet. Justin Lee wrote this. And he wrote the book, Torn, Rescuing the Gospel from the Gay versus Christian Debate. He argues that we Christians have often become our own worst enemies. In many communities, our reputation is that of uncompassionate cultural warriors, quick to shout about gays or abortion or political candidates, but slow to show grace and mercy in our everyday lives. And these acts of ungrace by Christians have far more power to damage Christianity's reputation and influence than any attack launched at the church from the outside. Jesus was a radical rabbi. Can we be radical followers? Sure, we can offer hugs. But can we offer so much more? I think we can if we open up ourselves to do it. Everything we have in the church is for all people, not just those on the inside, not just for those who know the secret handshake. If we could live with that radical thought, how might our lives change, as well as the lives of those around us? I think it might be pretty amazing. Sometimes it might be difficult, but then, you know, Jesus never said following his life would be easy. Look what happened to him. He ended up nailed to a cross. But if we want a better life for Nolan and for those who are precious to us, inside and outside the church, then we need to be willing to offer more than just hugs, but offer them life itself. And encourage them to not hold on to it, but pass it on. Because you know, the feeling is even better when you pass it on. Think of the goodwill that the owner in our story that Jesus told today experienced from the people who owned him, or owed him, excuse me. Yeah, he was poor for it. But you know, he had other intangible things, like respect, like grateful thanksgiving from others, those who had portions of their debts forgiven. Perhaps he even had love. And you know, in life, those are not things to be shunned, but to be celebrated. Amen.